Say hello to former Lubbock Mayor Tom Martin, who's in our studio this morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Paul. Glad to be here this morning.
Well, thank you. How you been?
Well, been doing fine. You know, I've been staying busy. I'm teaching a graduate course every semester at Tech in public administration and serving on a number of boards here in town and various organizations, and stay really busy with that.
As a matter of fact, you have your Lions Club vest on this morning because you have been up here at Town Square Media making rounds of the various radio stations talking about
Kidfish. Kidfish, Lubbock.
Oh, great.
This is a project this coming Saturday, April 26th, at Maxie Lake, which is at 31st in Nashville. The Lubbock Lions Club and the local American Business Clubs, or AMBUCs as we call them, are joint sponsoring the first annual Kidfish program. And it's a program designed for parents to bring their kids ages 2 to 17 and fish for a day at Maxie Lake. We are going to be stocking the lake with about 1,000 catching-size catfish this week. And we will guard the lake, by the way, so no sneaking out there ahead of time. We will have people from the Sheriff's Department that will be guarding the lake. We have from 7 in the morning till 1 o'clock, parents and their kids can come out and fish. There's no charge. Also, we have a number of businesses in town. Our good friends at Atmos Energy, X8 Environmental Engineering, People's Bank, and Remax of Lubbock are bringing their big cookers out that they use for tailgating at Tech and so forth. And they're going to cook hot dogs and have all the fixings for people that are participating in the event. And it's free, and there's no charge whatsoever. And it's to allow kids to fish and also to allow parents to do something with their kids. You always hear about, you know, gee, I wish there was more things we could do together as far as young parents and their children. And then, sadly, we have such a large number of single parents. And so single moms that are on very limited budgets and are always looking for activities to do with both their boys and their girls. And this is a great opportunity to bring them out and fish for a morning and have lunch. Single dads who may only have the kids one weekend a month, they're always looking for activities to do. And so this would be a great thing also. This program, we have so many local businesses that have pitched in and donated things so that there's no charge to the parents and the kids. We have a website, Paul. It's called kidfishlubbock.com, KIDFISHlubbock.com. And we ask the parents to our guardians to go online and register themselves and their children that will be participating. And if they don't register online ahead of time, so that the Saturday morning when they show up at 7 and they can immediately begin fishing. If they need to sign up that morning, it'll take a little longer, but then they can go ahead and fish. We expect most people will bring their own fishing poles and reels and bait, but we have about 100 poles and rods and reels that local businesses and members of the Lions Club and the AMBUCs clubs have donated so that if a parent and child don't have fishing equipment, we'll loan it to them. And so we expect it to be a great, great event. And, you know, it's really hard to do a lot of fishing in West Texas right now because so many of the lakes are so down or they've dried up. And so this is going to be one of those things that'll be just great for kids and for parents. And finally, the AMBUCs clubs had years ago built a playground on Maxie Park right across from Covenant Lakeside.
Right.
And it was designed for handicapped children, where even in wheelchairs they can come and participate in that playground. Well, they will also be assisting handicapped kids that are wheelchair-bound or on braces or crutches to fish over in that area. And so it's going to be a great, great event. And it's this Saturday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. And again, the website is kidfishlubbock.com. We also have a Facebook page, whatever Facebook is. I'm not a Facebook guy. That's a little outside my realm. But we have one of those, and so you can do the same thing signing up on the Facebook page also.
Let me ask you a question about this kidfish thing. Uh-huh. What about bait?
We're going to have some donated bait, everything from corn to worms. I don't think we're going to do any stink bait. That's, you know, for us old grizzled fishermen, that's okay. But I don't think you want moms and some 3 or 4 year olds using stink bait.
Yeah, there's no reason to spoil lunch.
But you know, you can go by the grocery store and get a half a pound of shrimp, and you can put shrimp on there. Catfish will bite about anything.
Oh yeah.
And since they're going to be stocked this week, they're going to be really hungry by Saturday morning. So we expect that folks will have a great opportunity to catch fish.
Okay. This sounds like great fun.
You bet.
It really does. You know, one of the big catchphrases that has been moving around recently is the fact that water is an issue all of a sudden. We're going to run out of water. We're not going to have any water by next year. It's been said publicly. As a matter of fact, the Lubbock mayor, in his state of the city indicated that we could run out of water within a year or not have water. And I have known, the current mayor for many, many years. And even though I have not had a chance to talk to him in person about it, I have in some of my radio commentaries here on KFYO actually taken the mayor to task over it. I did not think it was accurate. I still do not think it was accurate. And I wanted you to come in this morning and talk about the history of water. Let's go back to when you served on the city council as a council member from District 5, and Mark McDougall was mayor. That was when the first major purchase of additional water rights were made. Take us through that, Tom.
In late 2002, about September, one day I'd, like I'm always doing, I'm a news junkie, as you know, having started years ago with when you were in the business and I was in the business. And I was surfing around the internet, and I ran across the National Weather Service website, and I noticed that the lake level, the level of percentage of fullness is of Lake Meredith, which was our primary water source at the time, was down substantially. And then I went to the Texas Water Development Board's website and looked at a graph that showed that Lake Meredith had declined precipitously in water from about 1998 up till the time in 2002. So in 4 years, the lake had basically lost about 60% of its level of water. And that really concerned me, since that was really the source of water for this city, for Amarillo, and 9 other cities. There's 11 cities total that are members of the Canadian River Municipal Water Authority. Lubbock, Amarillo, Plainview, Slayton, Tahoka, Lamesa, O'Donnell, Brownfield, Leveland, Pampa, and Borger. Are all members of the Canadian River system. And that being our primary source of water, and it was declining precipitously, concerned me. And so I asked questions of the then city staff about it and was assured, and so was the whole council, that, oh, we have 50 years of water and we're in fine shape and so forth.
Right. Hold it right there. I want to pick that up in just a moment. I want to get the break in, and I want to start back in just a moment right where you left off. and talk about several issues involved in this thing and how the city staff, in my view, was asleep at the switch. I'll get your opinion about that in a moment. We're talking about water here this morning, since it seems to be on everybody's mind and on everybody's lips and on the front page of our local newspaper. This is the Chad Hasty Show. I'm Paul R. Bean, and I'll be back with former Mayor Tom Martin to talk water right after this break. Welcome back, everybody, to the Chad Hasty Program. I'm Paul R. Bean, and our guest is former Mayor Tom Martin, who served as mayor in Lubbock from 2008 until 2012, and prior to that served a term on the Lubbock City Council from District 5. And, of course, a quick reminder that city elections are coming up. It would be my advice to you to choose carefully when you go to the little automated voting stand. Mayor, we're talking about the history of water in Lubbock, and you were talking about the first time that you realized that we had a very serious water problem on our hands, but at the same time you discovered this issue, apparently somebody at City Hall was asleep at the switch.
Yeah, Paul, in the fall of 2002, when we discovered that Lake Meredith was drying up. We are just in the beginning of the long-term drought that we're still experiencing today, and who knows how long it'll go on. I mean, it could be over next week. We could start raining like crazy, or we could go another 20 years, or it may never. I mean, nobody knows. Only the good Lord knows when it'll be over.
And he ain't talking.
We have to try to make plans for the economic well-being of this community, because without water, you don't have a city. I mean, let's just face it. Without water, we dry up, blow away, and Lubbock would cease to exist. And so it is such a serious issue, and it transcends every discussion about things we were having at that time about a visitor center in Lubbock and a dog park and, you know, all these very weighty issues that we used to discuss, and I guess they still do. I don't know. But water, there is no substitute for water. And so we had to get high behind, because our city staff at the time had really been asleep. They had let this creep up on us and had not brought the issue to the council. The council had to bring it to the staff. And so we did several things under Mark McDougall's leadership as mayor at the time. First and foremost, we created the first ever Lubbock Water Commission. And it was a group of very knowledgeable citizens here in this community on the issues of water. It involved experts from Texas Tech. It involved experts from the Region O water planning group. Bo Brown, a local attorney, was very, very instrumental in getting our water commission set up and working. And they entered upon a crash program to get up to speed on where our water situation was. And in 2002, and after some preliminary work by the Water Commission, the estimate was that without major changes in the water cycle from nature, that Lake Meredith would dry up and be unusable by 2012. As it turned out, it dried up and was unusable by about 2008. So it happened even quicker than the forecast that we had made in 2002.
That was when you were elected mayor.
Yes. So, but realizing the nature of the problem and understanding that for a variety of reasons, Lubbock had made some serious misjudgments in policy and in action over the years. For example, we built Lake Allen Henry, the dam started impounding water in 1993, but they never built a pipeline to bring the water up here.
Plus, we had the debacle over the mineral
rights. Right, the mineral rights and so forth that weren't purchased. I mean, there were a whole host of things. But we had a lake sitting there full of water and no pipeline to get it back the 60 miles back to Lubbock. And that was one. Number two was the Canadian River Municipal Water Authority had purchased some water rights up in the panhandle in Roberts County. Roberts is the county north of Pampa. It is an area that is very hilly in nature. The soil is terrible. There is no agriculture up there. There's very little even cattle grazing. It's pretty wasteland would be a good description of it. But the good Lord put a slew of water under that section of real estate, covering not only Roberts, but surrounding counties. But Roberts County is the big kahuna, if you will. And, the Canadian River system had bought some water rights and drilled some wells and built a small pipeline to come over to the main aqueduct from Lake Meredith to be used, to lessen the salt content from Lake Meredith. Lake Meredith was a very salty lake. The Canadian River is very salty when it used to flow.
Right.
If you people in lived in Lubbock for a long time, when you see the your back fence, your backyard fence, and you'd have these white semicircles on your back wooden fence where the sprinkler would hit it. And what was happening is the salt content, the high salt content from Lake Meredith was bleaching the wood, and that's why you used to get those white semicircles on your back fence.
Right.
Today we don't get water from Meredith, and so we don't have that problem. So, but they had built these wells, but we discovered that there was so much water in that area that we immediately began to look at, along with our other member cities of Cremois. And you have to remember that not only was Lubbock facing this issue, so was Amarillo, so was Plainview, so was Slayton, Tahoka, O'Donnell, Lamesa, Brownfield, and Leveland.
Everybody that had
in
their,
the same boat.
Everybody that had their straw
and
in it.
So we had to look at obtaining additional water rights, and we'll continue with that after the break.
That's going to be an interesting discussion because the quest for water rights should be continuing as we speak, but apparently that's not the case at the current city government level. This is the Chad Hasty Program. I'm Paul R. Bean. Welcome back to the Chad Hasty Program. You know, Mayor, before we get back on water, everywhere I go, people ask me, are you going to run for mayor, city council, county commissioner? Just fill in the blank. And a lot of people always tend to ask me if I know what your political plans are. And I have been telling them that I don't think he has any. I know people constantly talk to you and ask you, because you're still out in the public a great deal, what your plans for the future are, and do they include any political aspirations. What's your answer?
Paul, I'm not ever again interested in running for public office. I've had all of that I care to have. It doesn't mean, though, that I'm not involved in trying to better my community. As you know, serving on a number of nonprofit organization boards, I stay very busy with projects that are important to people in our community, particularly the less fortunate. I'm teaching a course at Texas Tech in the graduate program in public administration every semester. That's hopefully to train the next generation of public officials to how to do it right.
Meaning city managers.
City managers and department heads,
right,
and state agency people that generally come out of a public administration program. So, you know, those are a lot of things to do. My wife, Karen, is involved in a number of charitable groups that she works with. And so we've, you know, we had a life before politics, and we have a life after politics. And so is all about trying to make our community better.
Yeah, good point. Talking about the Lubbock's growing water supply, I think maybe former Mayor Pro Tem Jim Gilbert summed it up pretty well when he said, we've got plenty of water, lots of water. We got a minor plumbing problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on and talk about that. Let's go back and regress just a moment and bring us up to speed on the last purchase of water rights in the Panhandle through CRMWA, the Canadian River Municipal Water Authority.
In 2005, as a result of the work that the Water Commission had done starting in late 2002, CRMWA, all of the cities finally agreed, and the way Canadian River System is set up is all 11 cities have to agree. If one disagrees, the project's dead. So O'Donnell can kill a project for Lubbock and Amarillo, for example. So everybody has, and I'm not saying they did in this case, but that's the way the system works. So all the cities agreed, and they agreed to take on the debt because each city has to take on its percentage. Lubbock, by the amount of water that we're contractually obligated to take, assumes 37.5%, 3/8 of the total debt that CRMWA incurs for water projects. Amarillo actually is a little bit more. I think they're a little over 40%. And then the other nearly 20% is divided up among the other 9 smaller cities, depending on the amount of water they're committed to take. And so CRMWA finally agreed in 2005. We started on a program to buy up to 250,000 acres of water rights, primarily in Roberts County, so that we would have a lot of groundwater available eventually to bring out of the ground, pipe back to the main aqueduct that was basically sitting empty now or emptying very fast from Lake Meredith. The goal is to keep that aqueduct full, and it's not today, although we do have the water in the ground that would keep it full, but there's additional wells that have to be drilled and additional pipelines from Roberts County over to the main aqueduct. So that first project was authorized in 2005, and it got underway and was working very hard. The next project that we envisioned and started the work on was to build the pipeline for Lake Allen Henry. Having a lake with 107,000 acre-feet of water sitting there and not being able to use it when we built it for the purpose of water supply. It was not built as a recreation lake. It was not built as a lake for developers to go down there and build those high-dollar houses that the average person can't afford. Only the very well-heeled end up being down there. It was built as a water supply lake for the city of Lubbock. And the ratepayers in the city of Lubbock have been paying for that lake since the late 80s.
And let me interject here. The fact that it was built as a water supply lake for the city of Lubbock was made clear from the very beginning.
Certainly. And also the people in Lubbock were the ones that were paying for it. Folks in other cities or counties that like to try to lay claim to that lake never put a dime into it. So people have to remember that we built it and we paid for it and we're using it now.
Right.
Anyway, so the next project was to get that pipeline project going, which was going to cost in the neighborhood of about $250 million. Because in addition to building the pipeline and pump stations to bring the water from the lake, we had to build a new water treatment plant. Because our current water treatment plant, the one out by the airport that everybody's familiar with, and they fly in and out of the airport, they see it there at the east end of the east-west runway, was built as part of the CRMWA project and came online in 1968, and it was maxed out. It couldn't treat any more water. And so we built a second treatment plant, which is out on 1585, just almost due south of the Monfort prison unit.
Right. And also, Mayor, it's worth mentioning that the science of treating water has changed significantly, and it's much more cost-effective now and much faster.
It is, and it's way over my head scientifically,
no, me too.
But it involves membranes, they call them. And basically, it's a lot of plastic membranes that are used to treat the water and remove the bacteria and the contaminants, the heavy metals, and so forth. All right, so those projects then are underway. Also, while we did the first 250,000 acres of water rights in Roberts County, a gentleman by the name of Boone Pickens owned about another 250,000 acres of water rights adjacent to the water rights we had and the water rights we were purchasing. And he approached us quietly back in about 2005 to see if we, meaning the Canadian River cities, were interested in purchasing his water rights. We were interested, but he wanted about $1,000 an acre for the water rights, which the going rate was a little under $300 an acre. And so we said, no thank you at that price.
Right. Hold it right there. We're going to get another break in right now. Now we're about $700 an acre apart.
Mm-hmm.
But some contributing factors led to us making a pretty good buy, I think.
Yes.
For all of the member cities, including Lubbock. And we'll pick that up right after this next break. And, folks, this is the Chad Hasty program. We're trying to give you the history of Lubbock water because there's been so much said about it. And to be honest with you, folks, a lot of it has been highly inaccurate. We'll be back after this break. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Chad Hasty program. Chad will be back tomorrow morning. We're trying to give you this morning in 1 hour the complete history of Lubbock's water issues because so much has been said and written about the water issues in the city of Lubbock. And a lot of it has been inaccurate and a lot of it has been misleading. Let's go back to the phones this morning. Tom Martin, who was Lubbock mayor from 2008 to 2012, has stepped out of the studio momentarily to answer, I think, some phone calls. But let's go to the phones this morning and talk to Mike. I think he's may have a question about water. Good morning, Mike. You're on the Chad Hasty program.
Yeah, Paul.
Yes, sir.
If you remember, Mexico put another dam up there on that Canadian River and shut the water off for Meredith.
Absolutely.
Paul has brought that up.
Right. And that's a great point.
They're our sister state, and we don't bother them, do we?
No, absolutely.
We
and I'll tell
them.
You, I'll tell you something else that was interesting, Mike, about the dams that were built on the Canadian River in New Mexico. Was in addition to that, we had a tremendous number of salt cedars in the Canadian River bed that some of the ranchers up there would prohibit their removal. So we had all of the salt cedar trees up there that consume amazing amounts of water. Plus, with the restricted water flow and that coupled with the drought, it really spelled a doom for Lake Meredith. Good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, Mike.
I know, but it's the same thing they've done on the Pecos. They've dammed it up so many dams of Pecos nearly quit running.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And
folks like Amistad at Lake Amistad are paying the price for that. Also, Mike, thank you very much. Also, I might mention. You bet. Thank you for calling. One of the things I might mention about water flow of the Pecos is the fact that one of the problems that we have in water flow along the Rio Grande is Mexico contains a lot of water over there in their lake system, and they're required by international treaty to turn a great amount of that water loose into the Rio Grande, and sometimes they don't. I remember when George W. Bush was president, I think we sued Mexico, and finally an international court forced Mexico to turn that water loose into the Rio Grande, subsequently into Lake Meredith, Lake Amistad, and then on down the Rio Grande. So I'll tell you that Amistad Lake is one that goes up and down. I wanted to talk a little bit about desalinization. Big article on the front page of our local paper about the possibility of desalinization. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But, Mayor, we were talking about the history of the purchase of the water rights, and bring us up to date with the last purchase, and that was when you were mayor and the negotiations were going along with billionaire T. Boone Pickens.
Right. As you remember, originally Boone wanted $1,000 an acre for his 250,000 acres of water rights, which by obtaining that, we would have over 500,000 acres in Roberts County and a little bit in the adjoining counties. And let's talk about that water just a minute. If you look at the farming area around Lubbock in the high, in the South Plains, the water in the Ogallala Formation saturates the sand and soil beneath the surface. It's called saturated thickness.
Yes, folks, there's not a big pool of water under the ground. It is held in mostly sand formations.
Right. If you look at the Edwards Aquifer down in the hill country, that is a big, those are big caverns, and they're just like a big water tank. But the water here is mixed in with sand and soil beneath the surface. It's a different kind of aquifer. And around here, if you're in the farming business and you have up to 100 feet of saturated thickness, meaning 100 feet of water-saturated sand that you stick a pipe in a pump, you've got dynamite water. The rule of thumb is you get about 15% of whatever the amount of thickness. So if you have 100 feet, it's the equivalent of having a 15-foot deep pool under your land.
Not true up in Roberts County, though.
No, it's 750 feet of saturated thickness.
Right.
750. And you and I had gone up and watched them drill the wells for that when we got the first well field developed. It was about 6 years ago we made that trip. And as you remember, they were drilling wells 1,000 feet deep because the first 250 feet from below the surface was no water. It was
right.
Just scrub dirt.
Right.
But starting at 250 down to 1,000 feet, that's where the water was. And so that's the equivalent 15%, that's equivalent to 105 foot deep lake underneath that 500,000 acres.
A literal ocean of water under Roberts
and fresh water.
Right, and fresh water. And those wells up there make about 1,000 gallons a minute because that's the capacity of all they can pump.
Right, and so it's absolutely amazing the amount of water that's available. And we have to go to break.
Going to have to go to break right quick. And when we come back, we'll mention also that in addition to the expense of drilling those wells up there, please understand, folks, that for 1,000 feet, they've got to be cased in stainless steel because they're drinking water wells.
Right.
I don't understand why, because we immediately put it in a pipeline to ship it 120 miles, which is not stainless steel. But regardless.
But that's the state requirements.
That's TCEQ requirements at this time. This is the Chad Hastie program. We'll be back right after this break. In the background, good morning, everybody. This is the Chad Hastie program. We've got a couple of show producers this morning, Ronnie and... Michelle is breaking in behind the control board, producing the Chad Hastie program, and they're doing an outstanding job this morning. Okay, quickly, we got about a minute left. Let's talk about the final purchase or the latest purchase of water rights from T. Boone Pickens.
Well, after about 8 years of negotiations, Boone got in a financial bind. Needed the money. He'd made a lot of donations to OSU. Uh-huh. The stock market went down, as you remember.
Right.
He needed the money.
Right.
So we bought his 250,000 acres of water rights for $295 an acre, which was the going rate. So by holding on, we saved over $700 an acre on those water rights, and it was a great investment.
And right now we own an awful lot of water rights. in Roberts County, along with Crimwaw. This is the Chad Hastie program. I'm Paul R. Bean. Another break at the top of the hour.